This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's here, it's queer, deal with it. Today is June 25th, and we've been at the Atlanta Gay Pride Festival this weekend. We talked to people from a lot of different organizations and groups. We talked to some political groups. We talked to some religious groups. We talked to a redneck bear. And unfortunately, we didn't talk to any lesbians, which is, you know, our bad, really. But, you know, then it was time for the parade. And, you know,
we tried to do the lesbians, but there was no time.
Yeah. He just wanted to say, do the lesbians.
I did.
But anyway. So I guess just a few more words here about the religious groups in particular. Well, one religious group. Because if you've ever been to Atlanta Pride, you may be familiar with the fact that there are usually crazy protesters on some street corners. And there were this year, too. And so we decided, hey, why not talk to them? So Rusty marched right up and talked to some of them. And they had some signs, you know, let's see, it's not a pot of gold, but a pit of hell at the end of your rainbow.
Exactly.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be queer cowboys, with an inappropriate apostrophe in that one, I might add.
Yeah.
But anyway, as you'll hear in the interview, the guy that Rusty was talking to goes to great lengths to claim that they just want to have civil conversation with people. If anybody were to come up with them and just try to have a civil dialogue, they would be more than happy. They would just love to talk to people in a rational, sane way. Well, I don't know if they said sane because they're not sane. But anyway, you get the point. That's what they were trying to say, that they would love to just talk to people. Well, that was not my experience because while Rusty was doing his interview, I decided to go on up and start talking to one of the guys, which, you know, maybe I shouldn't have, whatever. So he was the one holding the sign about the pit of hell at the end of the rainbow. And I started talking to him, and I was very even-keeled, and I was just asking him, you know, how many people have you actually gotten to, you know, repent and convert to, you know, see the error of their ways and convert to a life in Christ by using this sort of abrasive approach of yelling at them and telling them they're going to go to hell? I mean, I was really curious. I wanted to know, like, why do you do this? Why do you do this approach? And so I was just asking him these questions, and he wouldn't answer. And so he started talking about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed because of fags. And actually, also as a side note, some other guy came up and said shit or damn or something. And the guy was like, well, if you're a Christian, you're not supposed to cuss. But he was dropping, you know, fag everywhere. But I guess to him, that's not a cuss word. But so, and so I said, well, actually, it's my understanding that that's really not the main reason why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And, you know, I was trying to actually talk about the Bible with him, and he just wouldn't talk about it. He's like, well, ma'am, I think you're just going in circles. You just need to go back to your boyfriend. And also, while I was trying to talk to him, he would every now and then pause to yell things like...
That was kind of amusing when he did that, actually.
Well, yeah, he... One of the things
because he would be speaking in sort of like a straight tone of voice, right? And he'd be like, oh, well, you know, ma'am, that's kind of... You have AIDS! I hate you! You know,
he kept
that
yelling,
kind of thing.
AIDS ate your brain.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it was almost, you know, like it was a setup because it was so ridiculous because he was telling me, ma'am, we're out here preaching the gospel. That's what we're doing. Queers, AIDS ate your brain! Like, seriously, like from, you know, not missing
a
beat.
It was almost like Tourette's syndrome or something.
And I was like, well, is that the gospel? And then he wouldn't answer me.
Would
and then
Jesus
he,
yell, AIDS! You got AIDS! It's eating your brain, queer!
And then that's when he started telling me that I was going in circles and needed to go back to my boyfriend. It probably didn't help that, you know, to him I was probably dressed like a whore because I was wearing a tank top and shorts.
Yeah, showing off your rack.
I guess.
They don't like that.
No,
I asked Amber to flash some tit at these fellas to see how they would react, but... You know, as a sociological experiment, but...
I forgot.
Yeah, she
and
forgot.
And somebody, it was either Dwayne or Joseph, said that they have a feeling that those guys don't really swing that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of self-hate going on here. A
little bit.
A little bit.
So, and you'll hear more about that in the interview. So without further ado...
Actually, there's one more thing. Just very briefly, I wanted to mention that I also wanted to speak to some banks while I was at the Atlanta Pride Festival, because I guess about a month ago, there was a big hubbub with the Boy Scouts of America withdrawing support from Bank of America.
No, Bank of America.
Or the other way around, excuse me.
Yeah.
Bank of America withdrawing support from
charitable
the Boy Scouts.
Stop giving charitable contributions to Boy Scouts.
Yeah, because of their equal opportunity policy, which the Boy Scouts, as you may or may not know, don't let homosexual scoutmasters. Yeah, don't like the gays. And I just wanted to talk to some other banks about that, but none of them would speak to me. Who did I speak with? Do you remember which two banks?
Fidelity and Wachovia.
Yeah. And you know, I understand, you know, the way those corporations work is you've got to contact their PR people ahead of time. So I'm not begrudging it to them or anything like that. I just, but I thought it's worth mentioning as well that they didn't want to talk about it right there.
Okay. Well, so now let's get to the interviews from Atlanta Pride 2006.
Okay, this is Rusty. I'm here at the Atlanta Pride, Gay Pride Festival with
Kyle Bailey
of
Atlanta Stonewall Democrats.
Okay, could you just tell me briefly about the Stonewall Democrats, first of all?
Sure. Atlanta Stonewall Democrats is one of over 120 chapters across the country. We are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and our ally Democrats. We're the only national grassroots organization working to elect fair-minded Democrats in the primary and general election and move our party forward on LGBT issues and hold the party and our candidates accountable.
Okay. What's fair-minded?
Fair-minded is someone who has the courage of their convictions when it comes to standing up for equality and justice, not just for LGBT people, but for all people. Obviously, our organization is primarily focused on LGBT issues, but where do they stand on civil unions? Where do they stand on adoption? You know, are they going to promote policies and stand up for the right things, or are they going to cower to political expediency?
Okay. Obviously, Kathy Cox and Mark Taylor bailed on this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, our organization is only endorsing eight state legislative races. We're a new organization, and in order to establish credibility for ourselves, to really pool our resources and to make some changes in this election, to build credibility for our organization, to open the door for our community within the Democratic Party to have more of a voice, to hold people accountable in such a way that we can really make a difference, and over the long term, hopefully make much more of a difference in building a fair-minded Democratic Party and a fair-minded Democratic majority.
So, not really endorsing anybody in the government.
We are not involved in any statewide races. I would just refer you to Georgia Equality on that matter.
Yeah. Okay. Could you tell me about the origin of Stonewall?
Sure. The national organization has been around about 7 years. Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts organized this national federation, and it is a federation of chapters. The power is with the local groups to do their own endorsements, to organize in the way that best fits their community. And we all work together through a national network. Stonewall chapters have actually been around in other names for about 30 or 40 years in Los Angeles and New York and other places, and we're part of a larger federation.
Okay. What about, do you know the origin of why it's called Stonewall?
Sure. The summer of June 1969, there was a bar in New York City called Stonewall Inn. It was not uncommon in those days for laws such as in New York City that said homosexuals in gatherings cannot be served at liquor. So a lot of times there was underground clubs and bars, and the mafia would oftentimes run them. Stonewall would happen to be one of
those
places.
Straight people do just fine with liquor.
Yeah. And anyways, there was raids, and they would, you know, book people and give them a hard time, and this was one of those standard kind of things in the summer of June 69, and somebody decided they weren't going to take any more. They fought back. There was riots that lasted for several days. It spread across the country. Celebrated it every year. Marked it for several years. It became Pride. People started coming out. It was the beginning of the gay rights movement.
Yeah, that was my understanding of it. It's basically how the whole thing started.
Yep.
All right, well, thanks for your time here.
Absolutely.
How do I spell your name?
It's Kyle, K-Y-L-E-B-A-I-L-E-Y.
Okay, and is there a website that people can go and visit?
Absolutely. It's www.atlantastonewall.org.
All right, thank you so much. This is Rusty. I'm here at Atlanta Pride with
Kurt
of
Midtown
Atlanta. The Shrine
of the Immaculate Conception.
The Catholic Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. Okay. Most people wouldn't expect to see religious groups at the Gay Pride Festival. Is that a fair assumption?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, I mean, gay people can be religious too. They can have a relationship with God or higher power or whatever they want to call it. I mean, lots of people do.
It's just, I mean, maybe in the mainstream media, perhaps, it's sort of portrayed that, you know, religion and being gay are counter concepts. Like, for example, someone could point to passages in the Bible that might say, well, you know, don't have sex with another man. I mean, I don't think it says it exactly like that. But,
sure. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's true. Some people do point to those passages, but they are pointing to the Old Testament and not the New Testament. Jesus Christ, those who believe in Jesus Christ, you know, in that relationship, Jesus Christ came in and wiped out the Old Testament and put in a New Testament, which says that basically two commandments that Jesus Christ put in, love your God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Just two things that you need to do. And that's what I subscribe to, and that's what a lot of other religions subscribe to, just those two tenets.
Okay. Can you tell us about your group specifically?
Sure. The Catholic Shrine of the Immaculate Conception believes in the fact that Catholic is universal. Religion is universal. The Catholic Church, or my belief in the Catholic Church, is that the Catholic Church is one of the oldest religions, going all the way back to Christ and these two covenants. And you can definitely look back on the history of the Catholic Church and say that, you know, they have definitely made mistakes along the way. But they, you know, just in anything, I mean, you make amends and you learn from your mistakes. And for this church, we are very welcoming of all people. People want to convert to the Catholic faith, they are certainly welcome to do so. But definitely, it's just a Catholic is universal and welcomes all people.
What drew you to this to begin with?
There are several gay men and women that attend this church, so I enjoy being part of that. I enjoy the music of the church. I enjoy the pastor. It's just a great environment for me to express my faith with my higher power, my God.
Excellent. Is there anywhere on the web that people can go and visit?
Yes, it does have a website. I'm not particularly sure. I just don't know that off the top of my head. But the church is downtown next to the Capitol building. There's free parking across from the World of Coke, and there's a parking deck across from the Fulton County Courthouse. And also, mass times are 8:30 and 11 o'clock on Sunday.
Cool. How many people would you say show up?
On any given Sunday for either of the masses, it's approximately 100, 150, 200 at a mass.
Cool. All right, this is Rusty. I'm here at Atlanta Pride with
Peter Dahlia from Redneck Bear.
Okay, could you tell us a little bit about Redneck Bear?
Sure. It was a concept that I came up with that I wanted to put redneck, like combine it with bear and kind of dispel the whole redneck image. I can kind of, you know, you don't have to be a redneck or whatever, but it's just I wanted to like a lot of guys, a lot of gay men like redneck and like the concept of rednecks, and so, and bears especially do. So kind of that was the idea, and that's how it came out.
So you've got some t-shirts and things here.
Mm-hmm.
What's the main purpose beyond just dispelling notions? Is there like a pragmatic goal?
As far as like, besides it being a business and trying to like make money.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that, and there's just to get the name out. And you know what? There really isn't a specific clothing line designated for bears.
Yeah.
So, and I just wanted to kind of, I wanted to add something to the community.
Now, some people in our audience might not know what the word bear means right away. What,
right.
Could you explain that briefly?
Sure. It's basically they're friendly, kind of hairy. Generally, they're hairy guys, but they don't necessarily have to be. But they're friendly and very cohesive. They really make a family of themselves. And that's it. They like to eat. They like to, like, dance. They like to do all sorts of stuff, all sorts of fun things. But they're very, like, cohesive.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a community.
Why do you think that, you know, like, some of these sort of separate segments of imagery, like bears and rednecks and, you know, heteros versus gays. Why is it that those, that people don't think those necessarily should mesh together? Or
I don't know if they necessarily should mesh. That's why the whole thing, that's the thing with the bear community.
Yeah.
It kind of crosses over into everything. You don't necessarily, there's so many different kinds of bears and so many different kinds of, so everyone sort of kind of falls into it, as long as, you know, they're just friendly, good-hearted, very warm, loving, caring, like that kind of thing. So that's the bear thing. But I know it like kind of compartmentalizes with all the little labels and everything like that. And so I don't know. I like for myself, I never like place myself in any one thing, but I kind of celebrate it.
Yeah,
that it is out there.
Well, cool. Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's www.redneckbear.net.
All right. Well, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Sure, no problem.
All right, my name is Rusty Tanton. Rusty Tanton. I'm with the Georgia Podcast Network, which you can view on the web at gapodcastnetwork.com. I just wanted to talk to you guys about why you're out here today. And so obviously we have Atlanta Gay Pride here this weekend.
We're out here preaching the gospel and warning the sodomites that are part of this gathering. If they don't repent, they're going to hell. They don't repent of the sin of sodomy.
Okay. Anything beyond that? I mean, what's the basic objection to it?
Well, we have an objection with it because God has an objection to it. It's an abomination in the sight of God. It's the most accepted, tolerated sin in America right now, I think, besides abortion. And the church is way too quiet about it. We could be with our families today, enjoying a good time with our families, but we came out here because we love these people enough to warn them and rebuke them that their sin is sent them to hell, just like ours was.
Yeah.
We had to repent in order to be saved, and they will too.
Yeah.
But you don't repent of anything unless it's sin, and you don't know it's sin unless somebody tells you.
Yeah.
And the Word of God clearly spells out that sodomy, man with man, woman with woman, is an abomination before God.
Yeah, and I guess absolutely, you know, if anybody wants to prescribe to that themselves, that's absolutely fine. I guess the question I would have, and I guess that a lot of people might have, is how does that affect your life if someone else does it?
What affects my life in the sense that it affects my country?
Okay.
Because I believe it is a dumbing down of spiritual society to continue to tolerate these type sins. It affects my nation in the sense that it can bring nothing but the judgment of God on it. We believe that the AIDS virus is the beginning, just the tip of the iceberg of that judgment. So it affects us in a lot of ways. But whether it affects us or not, we're commanded to go out as ambassadors for Christ, try to reach these people.
So, I mean, you know, my understanding, and frankly, I'm not a Christian. I don't understand it as well as probably you do. But
a lot of it, a lot of it I don't understand either. It's this part happens to be clearly wrote out in the Word of God. It's not that difficult to understand.
Yeah. But, I mean, didn't Jesus go around with Mary Magdalene, and wasn't she a prostitute? Didn't he say, let he who has not sinned throw the first stone?
Let's answer all those together. Jesus was in the presence of Mary Magdalene because the Bible said he had cast seven devils out of her. She was a saved woman, a born-again believer. The second question was what about Mary Magdalene and Jesus?
I mean, you know, they sort of accompanied each other while they were going around,
right?
Correct?
Just like any woman would today that's a Christian. There are women in our churches that are saved that are followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the issue that I might see is why is sort of an abrasive approach necessary? Why stand on a corner and yell at people?
Well, I think we always start out just to preach the gospel, hold the signs, hand out literature.
Yeah.
If you stick around long enough, you'll see the abrasiveness begins with the sodomites, with the finger, with the F word, with the vulgar language, with all that. And we try to answer them back as good as we can, but you can't.
Do you think it's sort of like a mutually promoting sort of, I don't know, ball of ill will where, you know, somebody yells at some person and then somebody yells back at another person? And I mean, is there a way for people to sit down and sort of discuss things a little more rationally?
Yes, and we've had probably, I'd say four or five today that we've been able to stand on a street corner open the Bible, talk with them rationally. But you can only speak rationally to rational people.
Yeah.
And when they become rational, we can. We're all for that. We're all for dialogue. We'll throw the signs down.
Yeah.
We'll throw the bullhorns down, and we'll sit all night with the Bible and talk to them. But we don't see that much.
Because I don't necessarily believe everything that you believe.
Right.
We're standing here having a conversation, and it's going just fine.
Right, that's right. And it would regardless. Yeah. If you'd have said to me, I'm from the Southern Voice, and I'm a reporter for Southern Voice, which is obviously a gay newspaper, I'd be responding to you the same way. As long as we're having a conversation like this, but when people begin to curse God and mock God, then we have to speak in judgmental tones from the Bible, because God did. And, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, where they get their name from, Sodomites, was destroyed by God. The same God that loves, the same God that put Jesus on the cross to die for our sins, destroyed all the cities over that sin primarily, the sin of sodomy. It's very clearly, from Genesis to Revelation, it's a sin. Well, they don't believe that, obviously. And we do. If they would come humbly and repent, like, I committed fornication before I got saved. Yeah. I had to repent of that. Yeah. If somebody called me a fornicator, I had two choices. I could get mad, argue with them, or I could say, you're right. I need some help. They have two choices. They can get vulgar and wild, or they can say, you're right, preacher. I got some problems. I need some help. At that point, it would change our whole tone.
Okay. One of the Catholic groups I spoke with inside of the Pride at one of their booths, basically, their brand of church is accepting of homosexuals who say, we want to believe in God. You know, we want to worship God, and we don't think it's mutually exclusive to follow Christ and to be a homosexual.
See,
would you say that that's mutually exclusive?
No, the problem is that our worldview and our religious view comes from the Bible, a literal interpretation of the Bible. You can't have the view they have of acceptance and tolerance towards sin and Christianity intertwined. It's not taught in the Bible. Now, it is very popular in society, but it's not taught in the Bible. Most people know that. For instance, you talk to the average sodomite and ask him what he thinks about bestiality.
Yeah.
And he will say, that's a little strange.
Yeah.
But it's in the same verses in the Bible as man with man. So you can't just go through and pick and choose. And yet there are things in the Old Testament that are not applicable in the New Testament, but when they are changed, they're pretty well cleared out. The problem with sodomy is, though, it's an abomination in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
And it's just unnatural. I mean, you know, a man's penis and a man's rectum.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not there. God never intended for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's enough Bible to overwhelmingly prove that. But the problem is this. Sinners are sinners are sinners are sinners. Whether it's adulterers, whether it's a pedophile, it's a homosexual, a thief, everybody's got to repent to be saved.
Isn't everybody a sinner?
No, if you did, you'd let go of his hands.
Isn't everybody a sinner, though?
Yes, until they're saved.
So, I mean, you know, everybody... My understanding is Jesus died on the cross.
For everybody.
For everybody.
Right.
For everybody's sins. And
everybody.
So, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that everybody standing here probably has been
starting with me.
And probably this morning, and when they thought about their cup of coffee.
Well, here's the difference, though. Here's the difference. What does a man do when he sins after he's saved? He has a different approach toward it. We're talking about people who not only sin, say I'm a sinner, brazenly say I'm a sinner, and F God. And what, I mean, we're not talking about apples and apples here. We're talking about people that if I offended you and you came to me and said, Pastor Ball, you know, you did something to me that was biblically wrong. If I was the right kind of Christian, I would say to you, sir, would you forgive me? These people don't have that spirit about them. They don't have that attitude about them. It's in your face, and sad to say, the preaching has to be in your face. But if you think what we're doing is harsh, now what's going to happen if you believe the Bible in judgment time, when angels bind these people hand and foot and cast them in hell, not just the sodomites, but everybody, then they're going to say, you know, that preacher wasn't too strong. I don't think he was too strong. Matter of fact, I wish he'd have stayed there all night. I wish he'd have been there every day. Preacher, why? I think there's going to be more people in hell gnashing on preachers that went to hell for not telling them the truth.
Interesting.
And that's what we're here for. Why would we be here? You know, a sodomite said to me the other day, why would I choose to be a sodomite and have all the ridicule that comes with it? I said the same reason I would choose to be a Christian, have all the ridicule We haven't cussed one sodomite today, but we've took a lot of cussing and a lot of birds and a lot of FU and everything else. We haven't dished any of that out. Last week we were here, had drinks poured on us. Some guy come by a while ago, gave me a shoulder block, knocked the sign. See, but no one's interviewing them and saying, why are you treating these people this way? You're supposed to be tolerance. They preach tolerance, but they're not tolerant.
That is a piece of that I see as ironic.
Yes, sir.
I don't think there's a proclivity really among any of the groups that I see floating around to just sit down and have a civil discussion about any of this stuff.
No, and we're open for that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, see, this is our first time on the streets. We've been doing it probably 16 years.
Yeah.
We were on the state capitol a couple of years ago over the gay marriage situation. And we had the opportunity to sit down with a lot of people and talk almost till dark, you know.
Yeah.
But there was reasonable people who wanted to talk. We didn't get anywhere, but at least we had a dialogue and gave them what the Bible said. It's not about us. If it was, about me, I'd be at the house. It's about the Word of God. And if the Word of God is not true, and I'm saying that for the sake of argument, we know it is. If the Word of God's not true, they have nothing to worry about. If it is, then what?
Yeah.
If it is.
Yeah. And certainly for their sake. So I guess you see it as an obligation to sort of get them turned on to the Word of God.
Sure. And they're all welcome in our church. You know, they don't want to come to our church, but they're welcome. I've not laid hands on anyone. I've not been vulgar on anyone. I've not cursed anyone. I've not pushed anyone. We're offering literature that has the Word of God on it. We're holding signs. And, yes, some of the signs are pretty strong. But we're dealing with people that are in a vile lifestyle, that anything goes. And I think we have to get their attention. Now, the odd thing is Channel 46 was here a little while ago. I had a particular sign that says, three gay rights, AIDS, hell, salvation. Well, she focused on AIDS and hell. I said, but ma'am, there's one more word here. You could choose to focus on all the negativity.
Yeah.
But if you take the whole gamut of all the signs, there's not one lie in any of it. It's all truth, whether it's Bible truth or just common sense truth. So we didn't expect to be embraced here today. But like I said, we got better things to do at our own lives. But we thought maybe if one person, there was one girl today that came across the street and was brokenhearted and humbled her heart, it's worth it all to us.
All right. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me here. And just to make sure we can get the spellings right, first of all, do you have a website?
No, I have a church website.
Any place you can visit to get more information, like a mailing address?
We have a mailing address on our pamphlets.
Okay.
And I think there's one on that.
Yeah.
And if there's not, there's one.
Ministry of the Faith Baptist Church, Primrose, Georgia. All right. And can I just get your name again?
Pastor Billy Ball. It's on that.
Okay.
Pamphlet.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar that would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.